Welcome to this episode of the Swim Swam Podcast. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges, and joined by Olympic champion and world champion, Kyle Chalmers. Kyle, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, thank you. Not too bad at all, can't complain.
This episode of the Swim Swam Podcast is sponsored by Commit Swimming, Swim Swam's exclusive team management software partner. Since 2015, Commit has been providing coaches with swimming's leading workout management software. And now, Commit has team management software too. Commit wants to help you make the switch from Team Unify to a simpler, more powerful solution. Their onboarding and customer service team will walk you through every step of the way. Check them out at commitswimming.com to book your demo today. That's C-O-M-M-I-T swimming.com. You're in Brisbane right now on a training camp in
Mackay.
Yeah. Sorry, you're in Queensland. Not Brisbane. Mackay. First, let's start there. How is the training camp going? You're with your new team, St. Andrews. Tell me about Mackay and training camp.
Yeah, so far so good. We've been here for a week now, so I've got one more week to go. I love being on a training camp. I think for me, it's the time I do my best possible training and best work, where I'm kind of away from all the distraction and noise that comes in your home environment or living at home. So for me, being on a training camp's the best place that I can get the best work done and focus fully on what I need to do and the job at hand. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it up here. It's definitely different being in Mackay. There's not a whole lot going on or much to do away from the pool, which is probably again more beneficial than not. I'm able to focus on my recovery and napping and eating and sleeping and doing what I need to do to be the best version of myself. And I'm really, really enjoying it. It's been also good getting to know my, new teammates that I haven't spent a whole lot of time with, obviously, since moving up here to St. Andrews, maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago now. So being able to spend time with them away from the pool and have new roommates and whatnot's been, good for me as well, I think.
Yeah. What are you focusing on in training at this point? You know, you're a couple months out from trials, 3 months out from Olympics. Obviously the main focus is making that Olympic team first and foremost, but what are you working on at this camp specifically?
Yeah, exactly. Like, making the Olympic team is my biggest focus, which is coming around really quickly. It's only 39 days now until the start of our trials. So, I'm a number person that likes to count and be very well aware of what's going on. So, 39 days to go. I've done the really hard work for the year, like, you know, that early preseason base. So for me now, it's, yes, I'm still doing quite a lot of hard work. Like, I think I'll hit just over 40Ks this week, which is quite a lot for 100 freestyler, I like to think. But it's kind of just starting to sharpen things up and start swimming a lot more at pace and a lot more at 100 pace and kind of starting to focus a lot more on my dive and my turn and my finish and those skills that I know that are hugely important for me to swim a fast 100 freestyle. So, that long aerobic stuff is somewhat done for the season. I still got a few big sessions to go, but now it's time to have some fun and just get used to swimming fast and get my body used to swimming at the speed that I want to swim at in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, that. And then, as you mentioned, you're getting to know your new teammates. You moved to St. Andrews in Queensland with at Coach Ashley Delaney. Tell me about that move. How has that been for you? Obviously, you know, like you said, you've been there 6 or 7 weeks, which is pretty soon from an Olympic Games. But just how has the transition been for you so far?
Yeah, the transition's been really good for me. So the last 2 years, I've actually been coming up and swimming with Ash. He's one of my very best mates that I swam with in the early days of my swimming career. We represented Australia. We went to the World Championships in 2015 together and swam the 4x1 freestyle relay. We actually missed the final, the first time in Australia's history that we ever missed the final, part of that team.
I think it was the US's first time too.
They also missed, so that's what made it kind of, I shouldn't say okay, but at least they missed it as well. But yeah, we've just had a really good bond since then. In 2022, when I'd had my second shoulder surgery, I kind of had taken maybe 6 to 7 weeks off from swimming. I wasn't planning on probably going to that World Championships in 2022 or the Commonwealth Games, and went to a Bucks party in Melbourne, and Ash was there, and he kind of said, come to the Sunshine Coast, see my kids, see my family, see where I'm living now. Went up there, he talked me into having a swim with the squad and the group, and I kind of re-got back in the pool then. For me, I didn't know whether I would get back in the pool. At that stage, I was obviously had just come back from my second shoulder surgery, and everything that I was doing, I was in so much pain. Like, sleeping was hard for me, driving was hard for me, and then swimming obviously was horrendous. So I kind of took an extended period away from the pool with maybe the idea that I would not come back. But going up there with Ash and getting back in the pool and just having fun with these guys that I'm now training with as my teammates got me back in the pool. And since then, it's always been my happy place and my safe place. If things haven't been going too well for me, I've escaped up to the Sunshine Coast and been taken into Ash's family and stay with him and train with these guys and just have a lot of fun. So the transition in that sense has been really easy because I have spent a fair bit of time at St. Andrews over these past couple of years. So I know the squad really well. I know Ash and how it works. I know the train, the pools. I know the Sunshine Coast quite well. So that was quite an easy decision for me to make, was to come to train with my very best mate and finish my Olympic preparation up in the beautiful weather of the Sunshine Coast. This time of year, it starts to get a little bit cold in Adelaide, whereas Queensland's weather is great. And, you know, like Adelaide, there's not a huge amount of athletes. So I'm a big fish in a small pond. So everywhere I kind of go in Adelaide, people are stopping me for photos and signatures and reminding me of the Olympics, and it becomes quite distracting, which is nice because I'm a very, very proud South Australian. But being up on the Sunshine Coast away from all of that noise has also been really beneficial for me because I'm able to just be Kyle the person and focus on swimming completely and not have to have, I guess, you know, those sorts of conversations every day, like the reminder of the Olympics and feel the pressure and expectation. And I can just enjoy swimming for what it is. So that's a lot, I guess, in that answer. But the moral of the story is, yes, the transition has been really good, and I'm really enjoying having new teammates who are hungry and wanting to learn from me and eager to learn from me, and working with my, like I said, very best mate as a coach has been, quite fun.
I didn't realize, I was going to ask about your relationship with Ashley, because I wasn't sure, and I didn't realize it went that deep. That's really cool. And what is Ashley like as a coach? You know, obviously you met him as a teammate and then just as a friend, but you know, what makes him click with his athletes? Because it seems like his athletes are starting to have some real success.
Yeah, I guess Ash, he's been there and done it. Like, he's been to the Olympics. He won a medal in Beijing as part of the relay, and also swam in the individual final, the 100 backstroke. I think he was either fourth or fifth in that. So he's been there, done it at the highest level. So he's able to relate to us as swimmers a whole lot easier in that sense. Like, he's able to, you know, he knows what sort of warm-ups or main sets and cool downs we want to do because he's been there, done that. He knows what works for him. And I think he's just able to relate to what we're going through a whole lot more than coaches I've dealt with in the past. Obviously, Bish, my coach, was amazing and someone I love dearly. But it's, very different having Ash, who's been to the Olympics, and just he's got a very good eye for technique and eye for skill. And you know, even for me, who's been around for quite some time, going up there and him being able to pick little things up on my freestyle stroke and say, hey, why don't you try this, has been really beneficial for me, because it's something that I think if the same coach is looking at you every single day for your whole entire swimming career, they might miss. But having a new set of eyes look over you and find these small imperfections has been really exciting. But I guess the hard thing is, like I said, Ash is one of my very, very best, closest friends. So initially trying to then form the coach-athlete relationship rather than just the best mate relationship. We had to work pretty hard at those first couple of weeks because it is very weird, kind of uncomfortable thing, I think, having your best friend tell you what to do in the pool or you know, have those uncomfortable conversations at time when I need him to get angry at me and say, what am I doing wrong? Or pull me into line when I need that. I found that quite difficult to start with. But now I think our relationship's grown so much and developed so much in this short period of time. Like, we haven't had a lot of time to be able to get to this point. So it's been pretty rapid and forced. But our coach-athlete relationship's going really well. And on weekends, I think we get to be best mates still.
That's so great to hear. Again, just so cool that you get to be coached by a former peer and now a best friend. It seems like it's going well on paper. You went to the Australian Open a couple weeks ago. You went best times in the 50 fly and the 50 free. You broke 22 seconds for the first time in your career. And 50 free, and then you were 47.6 in the 100 free. How did you feel about that competition?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's probably one of the better competitions I've had in my swimming career. Like, to swim PBs long course is very rare for me as I've got older. Like, I'm turning 26 next month, so swimming PBs doesn't come all that often. So to be able to start the first day of competition with a 50 fly personal best time, and that's an event that I swim regularly this time of year. So it's, again, uncommon for me to swim a PB. So to go 23.1, I was, really, really happy and probably somewhat emotional as well. Like, it was a bumpy roller coaster to get to that point this year. So to kind of have my first race at St. Andrews, a new club, like, I've never changed club or coach before. And I found it, definitely a little bit difficult kind of adapting to those new kind of circumstances. So to touch the wall and have that PB initially, obviously super excited, super happy. And then probably once I start to really overthink it or think about it, the emotion starts to kick in, and just grateful to be able to swim a personal best time. And I think that set me up for a really good 4 days in the pool. Day two had the medley relay, and I'm a person that, as you know, I absolutely love relays, and that's the reason I swim, is to swim with my mates. So to be able to have the opportunity to swim national championships in the relay, in the final, in the medley relay, and to win a silver medal, I was super pumped with that. I swam the butterfly, so I haven't done a whole lot of butterfly and medley relays, and changing over to a breaststroker I found difficult. But again, that, like, I just draw so much confidence and happiness from doing relays. So that was a great second day. And then to go under 22 in the 50 freestyle was probably the most special part of it all. I think, 2015, I was 22.1. And I kind of sat around 22.0, I think, probably since then, and haven't been anywhere near it for a long time. So to be able to finally get under that 22 second mark, I think I can retire a happy man eventually, knowing that I was able to achieve that. So I was really, really happy with that. So two PBs, and then, to follow it up on the last day with 100 freestyle and go 47.6. I've been 48.0 or 48.1 in that pool, I think, three times, and never kind of been able to get under that mark. It's a outdoor 2-meter pool, so I think it's a little bit of a slower pool at times. So to be able to, go 47.6 in that pool, have a pretty solid back end, do a personal best dive time to 15. I think I was 5.3, which was really nice. Super motivating and exciting moving forward. I know that what I'm doing and have been doing is working really well.
The meet overall was pretty dang fast. Is that something you expected going in, I guess, just from yourself as well as from all the competitors? Could you kind of feel those Olympic juices flowing and ramping up as you came into the meet?
Absolutely. I think the Olympic year, everyone's at their best. You've had a few guys that have, even like the Campbell sisters or Emily Seabomb, that have been away, or Mitch Larkin have been away for the last little period, and then they're back on pool deck and they're firing and they're excited for the Olympic Games, and you have all these guys stepping up and who have been on big training camps to start the year, and everyone's looking really fit and fast, and everyone gets ready for an Olympic year. So having that on pool deck, I guess, motivates you to swim a whole lot faster as well. And I'm a massive swimming fan, so for me, I love watching fast swimming. So I'm there to obviously race, but I'm also standing there watching the races. And then as soon as I get home, I'm flicking back onto the TV to watch the races and then going through Meet Mobile or Swim Swam and looking at all the results. And yeah, I'm really excited for the year ahead with what we've got coming in the Australian swimming team. I think there's so many amazing generational talents that we have on the team at the moment. And I really look forward to seeing what they can do in Paris. And trials, I mean, nationals was special. And I knew it was going to come. Like, there was a few people swimming pretty fast last year at nationals, and I knew that this year was going to be competitive. And nationals is one of those funny ones where some people have shaved their legs or shaved down slightly. Some people have had a bit of a recovery week leading into it. Some people are in extremely hard work. So we're all at different points, and but people want to swim fast and set themselves up for a big year and build on that, build that confidence leading into trials. So you expect, I guess, people to perform well at that one.
I guess one thing I noticed as I was kind of sifting through results was that, you know, you were 47.6 in the 100 free, only guy under 48, but there were five men total under 49. What did you make of just not only your swim in that race, but the depth that we're seeing out of the Australian men in the 100 free right now? I mean, obviously you guys are defending world champions in the 400 free relay, but it's pretty solid field.
It is. It's actually given me goosebumps. I don't know if you can see that, but it's given me goosebumps thinking about that, because I think we've struggled with depth for a few years. Obviously we won last year, which was extremely motivating, but that there's just been this wave of depth that started to come through with these young guys coming through. And I think there's, you know, the possibility of 10 to 12 guys going under 49 seconds at trials this year. So I'm really excited to get to trials. And I know that the heats is going to be a dogfight to get out of, so it's because everyone wants to be in that final. Obviously only top eight progress, and we only do heats and finals at Australian trials. So anyone who gets themselves into that final is a chance of making the Olympic team. And I'm loving seeing these young guys come through and have confidence in themselves and back themselves in and swim these amazing races. I think it's special. There's a few of us older boys that are still hanging on, like Alex Graham, Jack Cartwright, Will Yang, Zach Inserti. There's a few boys, but this next wave that are coming through, like the Kai Taylors, Flynn Southams, Dylan Andrea, there's quite a few. And there's a whole lot more, but there's quite a few young guys that are going to, I think, definitely outdo what us older boys have done over the last few years. So as an Australian swimming fan, I'm really excited to see what the future holds for our relays and 100 freestyle. And I hope I've left a good legacy, but I know that I'm leaving it in safe hands with these guys that are going to come through. And anyway, but hopefully I've got a fair few years left on the relay team with those boys to continue to guide them and help them. But I know that one day when my time comes, there's a good wave coming through.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it there. That's a pretty good depth that we're seeing from there. I forget that most Olympic trials are just prelims finals. Mm-hmm. Do you like that format for a trials meet? And I just ask, because the U.S. like, you know, mirrors the Olympic schedule. We've got 9 days. We do prelims, semis, finals. And I don't think, I don't know if there's like, you know, a right or wrong, good or bad, whatever. But I'm just curious if how you feel about that format for a trials meet.
Yeah, I love it. I think for me, I'm very adaptable. I don't think too far into anything. Like if they were to tell me we had a 9-day competition with heat semifinals, I'd do it. And if it's the way we do it now, where it's just heats and finals, I'd do it. I think if you get too caught up in, you know, thinking what it could be or wanting it differently, it just causes unnecessary stress. But for me, I love being able to do heats and finals. Like it just makes it so much easier, you know. Like we roll in, we do the heat. If you're unable to nap for the day, it's not too bad. And then you have the final that night. Like if you have, it's hard. It's hard at times doing heat, semis and finals, because obviously you do the heat. If you have a good swim, you get through to the semi-final, hopefully have that nap during the day. And then you have 24 hours from the semi to the final. You want to make sure you try and sleep that night. But a lot of the time you've got a whole lot of energy or noise in your head that it makes having that sleep a little bit challenging. And then you've got that whole day to wait through to get to the final at night. So for me, my ideal competition is just heat and finals, but the Olympic Games as heat semi-finals, and I'm more than happy and more than comfortable doing that when it matters also. So we used to do the heat semi-finals back in 2016 when I was qualifying for my first Olympics. We did heat semis and finals back in April as well. So things have changed quite a lot through my swimming career with trials and how they've swum them and how many days trials go for, or the program of events, how it plans out. And I've just been adaptable the whole way through. And I think that that is the best way to be, because I think there's always challenges that are going to be thrown at you, and you've just got to stay calm and settled and back yourself in and believe.
That's a great answer. So I appreciate the adaptability. I do have a couple more questions about this competition. You mentioned it was weird on the medley relay, doing your relay send off of a breaststroker. I'm curious, like, I swam, but like at a very mediocre level. So like, you know, for someone who is at your status, is it really that different going off of a freestyler to you doing freestyle versus going off of someone who's doing breaststroke?
Yeah, it is. And I just think that breaststrokes, everyone has a different way of swimming breaststroke. Like, you look at Adam Peaty swim compared to Zach Stubbley Cook swim compared to even Matt Wilson swim in the Australian team. Like, their stroke is all so different. So, you know, you can practice and get comfortable swimming and changing over at Zach Stubbley Cook, and he's got a long, slow stroke. And then you go to someone like Sam Williamson, who we've got at the moment, who's a sprint breaststroker, and his stroke rate's quite a lot higher and he lunges at the wall. So it's just a lot different. And I've practiced changing over to those guys a few times when we've had our event camps, just in the hope that one day maybe I get to swim some butterfly in a relay. Just I'm always ready, just in case. But then going back to swimming at a club level rather than, you know, the Australian swimming team level, I'm changing over to a breaststroker swimming. I think he was about 104, so he's coming in a whole lot different than a person like Sam Williamson would be too. So I think that breaststroke, there's definitely a whole lot different than freestyles. Freestyle's easy, I think. Like, I think I've done so many changeovers to freestylers, and you can kind of work it out and read it from almost the 25 meter mark of how they're going to finish and how their stroke's looking to be able to judge that changeover. But breaststroke, yeah, I'm still learning. So hopefully get it right one day. But It was different for me, and something that I probably should have practiced a few more times before that club relay. I think I was 0.06 of a second, so I almost went early.
Oh, that's a bit. Yeah, that's a good relay start.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. If you say it is, then I believe you. And it makes sense. I get why.
Yeah.
So coming into this meet, you are also 4 months removed from an ankle surgery. Can you just tell me a little bit about that process and how the healing process has been so far?
Yeah, I think for me, I decided to play a game of Australian rules football last year for my local team in Port Lincoln. It's something I love. I love football. I love my community back in Port Lincoln, and I thought it'd be a special thing to come back off the World Championships and play for my team. And it got to halftime of the game, so we played four quarters of Australian rules football. At halftime, I hadn't been on the field at all. I just sat on the bench because I didn't want to go out there and risk getting injured. And club president came down and said, "Come on, mate, you got to go out there. Just even if it's only 5 minutes, whatever." And I was like, "Oh, I can go out there. But make sure the runner," so we have a runner in AFL, Australian Rules Football, a runner who's kind of a team manager that runs out and tells players to come on and off the field as they're getting fatigued or tactical changes. So I said, make sure the runner comes out at 5 minutes and gets me off, because I don't want to be out there. And about 3 minutes into it, yeah, I just rolled my ankle badly. Clumsy person. Actually had my ankle strapped, so that made it somewhat better, but I snapped the three ligaments holding my two lower leg bones together, so the syndesmosis ligament. So my anterior, posterior, I'm not going to use those technical words, but the three major ligaments. So I had nothing holding my ankle together. I got up and ran off the field. I then proceeded to go back to the football club that night, have a few beers, enjoy celebrating with all my teammates and whatnot. And then the next morning I woke up and I was in an Airbnb with Matt Temple. Called Matt and said, "Hey, mate, I actually can't get out of bed. I really need your help here." And my ankle was as fat as my knee. Went back to Adelaide, got an x-ray. The doctor said, "Yeah, you're sweet, no worries." So I continued on for 2 weeks. Like, I was swimming, I was diving. My ankle was just progressively getting bigger until I finally went and got an MRI. And I did my, like I said, those three ligaments in my ankle. So I had nothing holding those bones together. So every time I was putting any force through my ankle, my bones were pulling apart. I did my midfoot, so my lisfranc, and then I did my big toe as well. So my big toe, now I've got all this synovial fluid in it, so my big toe has no movement in it whatsoever. And my ankle, I've finally got my plantar flexion and dorsiflexion back on that too. So that took a little bit of time, but yeah, I kind of pushed through for 2 weeks pretending like nothing was wrong. And it was all my own fault. I've got no one to blame. It's all on me. So I had to suck it up, get the surgery done. So yeah, they put a tight rope in. So this rope pretty much in between my two bones with screws either side that's now holding my ankle together. So it was 8 weeks, I think, in a moon boot and 2 weeks on crutches, and it was my right ankle. So I wasn't able to drive or walk around, which was quite challenging for a period of time. But surprisingly, the media never found out about that. I got through that part, and I was back in the pool within a week. Like, I was only out of the pool for 1 week, so that was a massive win. I just had my pool boy in doing pool for those first few weeks, and I managed to race in Japan at the end of last year, and then be back and having. I've had the best possible preparation for this Olympic Games that I've ever had for a Commonwealth Games, World Champs, Olympic year. So I'm really, really happy with where I'm at and where my body's at, and my ankle's completely fine now. Like, I would have no idea that I'd ever done that. So I've had a few injuries in my time. Unfortunately, I think I'm pretty injury prone person, and I've had to be pretty resilient and deal with it and get through it. So I think that played into my favor when it happened, that it was kind of just, oh, we'll suck it up and it's my own fault and move on.
Well, congrats on the recovery. that's good to hear. Yeah, the injuries are, it's never what you want to hear, but I'm glad that things are going well. Again, it seems like the racing is going well. So just moving forward into these next 39 days, I'm guessing you don't have another competition before trials.
No, I was going to race in Sydney next week. There's a Sydney Invitational meet that I had planned on my schedule, but I think for me, having such a good national opens and kind of getting my confidence up in the racing there, I've now wanted to just move back into a really intensive hard block of training. So this is kind of my last big block of training, and I didn't want to then have to have a couple of days of rest and then kind of travel down into Sydney and race. So I've decided to just push through and get these last couple blocks done before trials. So I'm doing a lot more faster stuff in training, and I've got a lot of confidence in what I'm doing. So there was kind of no need to go down to Sydney and race. So yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you know what events you'll be swimming at trials yet?
Well, definitely the 100 freestyle. That's always the number one priority. And then from there, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's really challenging. The 4x2 freestyle is something that I've always loved and loved doing, but it falls on the same night as the semi-final of 100 freestyle. And in Tokyo, that really probably cooked me quite a lot, but I was really underdone in Tokyo with coming off my shoulder surgery and just wasn't fit enough, I think, to back up those two races. So I do think that I'm a whole lot fitter than I was in Tokyo and more capable of being able to back it up, but I just think that I need to probably prioritize the 100 freestyle. It's going to take a very, very special race to put myself into the final, obviously, but to be able to be competitive and compete against these amazing swimmers that we have in that race at the moment. So for me, I think that I probably won't swim the 4x200 freestyle at this stage, but I might do it at trials just to have that option when I get over there and see how I'm going and see how things are progressing. And if the team needs me, then I'm always going to do the team thing and put myself on a relay because I do love it. But And then I'll probably swim the 50 freestyle at trials also. I've never done a 50 freestyle tapered and shaved. So I think being under 22 seconds, and that's kind of encouraged and inspired and excited me a bit. So I would love to be able to just do that, just to see how fast I could swim with a taper and shave down. So we'll see what happens there. And also that comes before the 100 freestyle, and I want to make sure that I have had a race before my main race. So I like to make sure I haven't raced at Chandler and Brisbane at the Aquatic Centre for quite some time. So I want to make sure I blight the cobwebs and have a race or a couple of races before it comes to my main race day. And then the 100 butterflies, day six. And I still potentially want to swim that. I think that ideally I'd love to be able to swim the 100 butterfly, because I would love to do the mixed medley heat. Because I know that it gets really intense on those last few days for the 100 butterflies at the Olympics. Like, they have the heat semi-final, the 100 butterfly, the medley relay gets split over a couple of days, the mixed medley gets split over a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So they have a whole lot of swimming in those last 3 or 4 days of racing. So if I could share the load and share the love and do the heat of the butterfly in that relay, I'd be very satisfied with that. But I'm not putting any expectation on myself. I really haven't done any butterfly this year in training, so we'll just see how things play out and pan out. But there's a lot of possibilities, and it's something that I need to speak to my coach and team and kind of start to work out over this next few weeks before my entries are due.
I love that the mixed medley relay heat is a goal.
I've been on the Australian swimming team now for the last 9 years. My first year was 2015, and I've never got a call up to the mixed medley just yet, being a freestyler. So I need to diversify if I ever want to get a call up for that team. I love being a part of the relay. I love being part of mixed relays. I think it's pretty cool being a part of having two girls, two boys in that one race, and the strategy that comes with the mixed medley of, you know, where the boys get placed and the girls get placed, and the, you know, some periods there's 10 meters in between teams, and then it ends up coming down to a fraction of a second. So it is a goal, and it's the Olympic Games. I think just being in a race is always a goal, really.
Thanks for saying that, Kyle. I think we forget that if you're in any Olympic race, that's a big deal.
It is a massive deal. I think we definitely do forget that. Like, even for me, like, it's all about qualifying for Paris before I get excited about thinking about finals or relays and finals or races and what I'm going to do. It's all about firstly making it, and making it is such a special achievement that not many people get to feel. And that's something that motivates me every day, is kind of having that feeling of, you know, knowing you've qualified for an Olympic Games and having your name announced in the last night of trials. And I think that's just as special as actually being there, if not more special, being able to do that in front of your friends and family in the crowd and get presented your Olympic shirt. Then and there's a feeling that I love and have loved. And what motivates me to continue to do it is to be able to compete for my country at the pinnacle of my sport.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam Podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam Podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.